This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Menopause 101, a listener's guide. The circle of a woman's menstrual life: having your first period between the ages 10 to 15, then having a kid at the average age of 30, then at the ripe average age of 50, you hit menopause. But what actually is menopause? It's a completely natural thing that all women go through, yet we don't know more about it. Why is this topic of conversation brushed over as much as what it is? This podcast is going to open your eyes to the topic of menopause. Hi, I'm Elliot Parsons. I'm only 17, but this is a topic I've researched recently and found rather interesting. I know that my mum is going through perimenopause, and rather just thinking she's dramatic, I took my time to learn what it is so I could help her. My nana is a nurse practitioner who took her time specialising in learning about menopause so she could help women who are struggling. But that's not what I'm wanting to talk about. I want to talk about what menopause is, the symptoms, the drug that's used to help, all those things, so others can learn about it and help those around them. Firstly, I would like to state that menopause looks different for everyone. Each stage can and will look different. Now, what is menopause? Menopause is when periods stop for good. It's diagnosed after 12 months without menstrual period, vaginal bleeding, or spotting. The average age for this happening is 50-ish, but can happen anywhere between 40s and 50s. There are generally three stages of menopause: perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. Perimenopause starts at the average age of mid-40s, but some women can experience it from the age of late 30s. As I said earlier, this will look different for everyone. Perimenopause is the decrease of hormone levels, specifically estrogen and progesterone. The decrease in hormone levels affects your period. They can become irregular, or cycle time can lengthen, ovulation may become erratic, then stop. In a way, it's almost like going through puberty. Fluctuating hormones, physical and emotional changes, and many more. Do you remember going through puberty for the first time? Feeling really emotional, like sad and angry, feeling your body is changing and it's not something you're used to? That's sometimes how perimenopause is described. Menopause can typically occur between the ages 45 and 55. This is when women have gone 12 months without having their menstrual cycle. The science behind this is in a woman's body, their ovary stops producing the egg. Due to the ceased production of eggs, this is what leads to the decrease of hormones. So again, it's your estrogen and progesterone and other hormones. Then there is postmenopause. As you can tell with the word being post in its name, this stage occurs after a woman has gone through menopause. Like the previous stages, there is a decrease in all hormones. However, this is permanent decrease, particularly in estrogen. Due to the decrease in hormones, it creates physical and psychological changes, which, again, as stated before, varies between everyone. So, that is the background information for menopause. But now I have a lovely interview with Marilyn Chittenden. She has a Master's of Nursing and Nurse Practitioner of Primary Health Care. She has specialised in menopause because she knows the limited amount of doctors who do specialise in it.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Chittenden. I have a registered nurse qualification with maternity training, a Master of Nursing, and I am now a nurse practitioner working at Ngāti Rurunui Healthcare.
So what is menopause?
Menopause is one day of your life, really. And when we define it, we call it one year following the last menses. So your last period, and then you go out 1 year, and that would be your day of menopause. And after that, you would be considered to be postmenopausal once you've had no bleeding pattern for a year.
So how does it work exactly? Does your body just stop from releasing eggs, or if you run out of eggs in your body?
Well, and when you get menarche or start to have periods and you're about 12 or 13, your hormones called the follicle stimulating hormone are released up in the brain, and these have an exert an effect on the ovaries to start producing estrogen, to start, which is produced at a higher level at the start of a period. And when we get older and women have gone past the period of time when they're reproducing, the body then slows down, and the kind of the reverse happens really. So we start up at about 12 or 13, and anywhere from our really from our mid 40s on, we start to have signs that we're not going to produce eggs like we used to, and therefore our estrogen levels change, as do the hormones in our body. And that signals the slowing down and stopping of periods at the other end.
So would you say yourself that this is basically the opposite of puberty? Rather than gaining hormones, you are losing them?
Yes, you do. So the very thing, your body is ready to go when you're a young person, because you're entering the maturation of being able to reproduce. Once you have done that, then the body shuts itself down and doesn't need to start keep producing eggs anymore. And it's around that process that menopause occurs here.
Is there any medication to help with menopause?
Yes, well, often when I see young people who are having struggles with periods, they often get dysmenorrhea or painful periods, and they often get irregular bleeding, and they have all kinds of things happening at the start. As women go into the next phase, they have similar kinds of things sometimes. And so they might get heavier periods, they might come more irregularly, they might be more often, and very commonly they are a bit heavier than they used to be in their younger age. So we can treat this with a number of things, and the main treatment that I feel works the best is to look at hormones to treat these problems.
So the hormones you're speaking of is HRT?
Yes, we call it MHT now, menopause hormone treatment. And, it is around offering estrogen and progesterone, which are the two hormones that are produced in our bodies. And so we offer them as different forms to reduce that loss of estrogen from the body.
So how do the hormones replace the ones that have been lost in the body? How does HRT or MHT replace?
Well, it just adds, really. So you can take a pill form, a gel, or a patch form, and there's various ways that we can just, I suppose, bump up the level of estrogen in your body when it's falling down.
Is there a supplement of MHT that's more beneficial or works better than others?
Yeah, well, in the old days, we just took a tablet form, and that was absorbed through the stomach and did a first pass through the liver, like drugs are metabolised. And now we have some other options, and in a patch form, it's applied to the skin, or a gel that a woman would wipe that up her arms on either side each day. So, there are different forms of the estrogen that you can get now, and it's is much more available than there ever used to be.
Do you prescribe the hormone supplement to women?
Yes, I do that a lot. So I have a special interest in women's health, and I see a lot of our women in the practice, and often being a female prescriber too, women find that helpful to relate to the symptoms that they might be having and experiencing. So, yep, I do prescribe this.
Are there any other of you at the practice you are at who also prescribe it?
Yeah, most of us now do. We have only one other female practitioner. Her experience is more in chronic care rather than women's health. A lot of the doctors talk to me actually about what to do, because traditionally the male doctors probably aren't quite as on board in some ways. So, yep, no, anyone here at our practice can give it.
There was a study done over 20 years ago with the HRT drug itself, saying that it's more that causes cancer in women, or increases the chance of a woman getting cancer. Do you believe that that study is still probable to this day, or do you reckon it should be redone?
Well, I'm not sure. I think they've continued to study it. So I think it's been well proven that many of the claims made in that study have been rather overturned and not found to exactly be the case. And a good example is expected extra uterine cancers, which haven't been shown to happen, and cardiac problems. Well, well-controlled cardiac problems aren't really a contraindication or high blood pressure for using menopause treatments. So I think that we've gone past that period of time when women were always being told, no, it's not something you should have, you should just weather through it, and it's not for you. And many people just would not prescribe it because of those studies. So now they've found that it's not really the case, and there's definitely a better understanding now.
Do you reckon, compared to a few years ago even, that there's been an increase of women who come in with the symptoms of perimenopause or wanting to have supplements to help with their symptoms?
Definitely. I think that we've changed a lot of attitudes. And, you know, once upon a time, menopause was something women never talked about. And I think now women recognise some of these symptoms, especially in around the mid-40s, when they start to have symptoms that are very in touch with what menopause is starting to look like. So they turn up and they've got often symptoms of dry skin, of irritability, itching, poor sleep, mood symptoms, and there's a list of about 75, I think, different symptoms. So I think women are now starting to think, I don't think I necessarily need an antidepressant straight out because my moods have changed. Maybe I am having symptoms around perimenopause.
So even though there is an increase of women who are aware of what they're going through, do you reckon there should be more people aware of what menopause is in, as a whole, not just as the symptoms, but what it actually is and how women go through it?
Absolutely. Awareness is a great thing, really, because it prompts people to get the care they should get and to get it in a better and timely manner, really. So I think that we are more open about talking about it, and I think grandmothers and mothers talk to their daughters a lot more than they used to as well. So definitely the more information that can be, you know, put out there, it just raises the awareness, and people are more likely to act when they think they're having problems.
So what are the, as you said earlier, there's about 75 different symptoms. What are the most common ones?
Well, the most common reason I see women come is they feel flushing. Hot flushes are probably the most common, followed along with a sense of just mood irregularity and often palpitations and feeling like they're a bit overwhelmed more than they used to be. Often skin changes and dryness in the vaginal area are signs for women that something's not quite like it used to be as well. You know, they often come in as a first point saying they're having some sexual problems with dryness and lack of libido often as well.
Is it with that, is it mainly perimenopausal women who come in, or do you have a mixture of women who are postmenopausal as well?
We're seeing more and more women who are postmenopausal, actually. And so they're coming in at 52, 53 and 54 years of age, more than they used to. So they may have started or had menopause at around 50 or 51 and then have tried all sorts of other things and then finally turn up saying, hey, listen, I've heard about, you know, my friend's got a patch or something like that. Is there something else that can be happening? And certainly even women in their early 60s are presenting more. We never used to see them at all, but I definitely see quite a lot of women in that late 50s to early 60s.
Are there ways to help people you know that are going through menopause? Like if it's just family, like help them so they're not feeling, as you said, all overwhelmed?
Yeah. Yes, well, when we think about it and we put it into perspective, when we, as a family, we gather around our 12 and 13-year-olds when they're getting their first menarche, you know. And so we say, oh, they're moody and they're this or that. So teenage girls commonly in a family are quite well supported. And the woman in her mid-40s is often in a different stage of her life with the same kind of raging hormonal symptoms, but she's often gone back to work because the children are older. She's juggling a home often, you know, having to look after this family. And I think we could be more aware of when she's when women are feeling less interested in life generally and are moody. I think that we could raise that awareness around the family caring for that woman in that part of her life, because those symptoms can be as dramatic and often even more overwhelming for the woman in her mid-40s than they were back when she was 12 or 13 with those changes.
So you kind of reckon we should like almost treat them as if they were 13 going through the period?
Yeah, mum's having a tantrum now, or mum's not feeling good, and recognise that close to periods, especially PMS, can increase in this age group. So, yeah, just a better understanding maybe. A lot of women come saying to me that their husbands think that they're, you know, their mood is to blame for the problems they might be feeling.
Are there any, or do you recommend any natural alternative to MHT, or is there, do people push for natural alternatives?
There's a plethora of natural alternatives, and things like black cohosh, for instance, have now been proven to really not be effective at all, but that was once a very popular alternative. But the health shop can deliver quite a lot of different supplements that women get. In my practice, I tend to stick more with traditional medicines of estrogen and progesterone supplement. But definitely there's lots of things. Some women find melatonin helps with sleep. And certainly there's a lot of the MHT, the progesterones, work very well with SSRIs or you know, if women are taking a lower level anti-anxiety, anti-depression, there's a lot of evidence that they work very well together to help the symptoms, yeah.
What ways do you diagnose, well, perimenopause or menopause throughout your practice?
Well, one thing I certainly don't do anymore is blood tests. Once upon a time, you'd go to a practice and the first thing they'd do is do some blood tests, tell you that your FSH was under 20, so therefore you definitely didn't have anything to do with menopause. And now I wouldn't even do a blood test. I would be going simply by the symptoms that women present with and talking to them about what's happening, asking about their period cycles and what they used to be like, and gathering some history around that, checking for any cancers that the woman might have had in the past. Asking her about cardiac and health history. It's important to cover off all of the other things that are going on as well in general health. So if I did a blood test, I'd more be looking at things like early osteoporosis and checking out for, you know, cardiac conditions or diabetes. All of those other things have to be checked for. And, yeah, and then just gathering that history of all of the things that are going on, and more listening to what that woman is telling me about her symptoms.
What about women who already have low hormone levels, or their body isn't producing the right amount of estrogen or progesterone? Sorry, like those who have had, is it a hysterectomy?
Yeah, if they've had. So there's different ways you can get a medical almost menopause from having a hysterectomy early on. And women who have had a hysterectomy are at risk of osteoporosis as they grow older. So most of those women should be started on a simple estrogen protection, and that could be in a patch form or tablet form or gel. And they should start that soon after a hysterectomy if it's well before 50, and continue that on really almost for life. I think that you have to be careful that you don't need to worry about taking the progesterone so much, because they protect the lining of the womb from cancers. So you'd be more interested in the woman taking an estrogen alone supplement.
Are there any myths you reckon should be debunked when it comes to perimenopause or menopause, or just the whole thing?
Yeah, I think the biggest one, of course, is women come and feel their mental health is a problem in that family. And that, you know, they come and often, very, very commonly, are concerned that, you know, their marriage situation might have changed because of their moods. They don't feel well in their job sometimes. You know, they're flushing all day or sweating and not sleeping very well. So some of these symptoms impact greatly on how a woman functions. And so definitely I think the symptoms related to their life can be very, very cause uprising within families. So, yeah, I do think they present with profound symptoms often.
And because obviously only some of the hormone supplements are funded, do you reckon more should be funded, or do you reckon there should be an easy way to be able to be prescribed the...
Yes, well, it's interesting that the tablet form, Clearvance, for instance, which is a tablet form of estrogen and progesterone together, isn't funded. So women pay, I think, something like $60. I might be wrong there, but something around that. Patches have only just become funded, and I see the government has done a turnaround on only providing estroderm and is now going to provide both estradot and estroderm. And that's good because the pharmacies do interchange those. If they're short on one, they'll be able to... What we're doing now is we push one out and put the other one in if it's in supply. And just to go to one funded patch, if that wasn't available, was going to be pretty dire for some women. So we already can, you know, swap them out, which I see now they've relented and they're going to fund both. And the gels have only just become funded too, so that's a really good thing. And a recent funding of Cerazette, which is can be given alongside MHT in women who need contraceptive protection and may have risks, maybe where they can't use a combined pill. You wouldn't give MHT with a combined pill, you'd use that in women up to 50. But where you're adding a progesterone-only pill, the funding of Cerazette and not just Noriday has improved the outlooks for many women. Noriday traditionally causes a lot more bleeding pattern than Cerazette. So it's a more suitable method. And the funding of Mirena is definitely a big help because women have them in at 45 and can leave them until they're 55. And they go nicely alongside the hormone patches.
Is there anything you'd say to women who are at the age of 40 that you'd want to pass on to them? Like any tips or anything that you reckon would be beneficial for them?
Well, I suppose just to expect that as they get to 40, their bodies may change a bit. Their hormones may shift around a little bit into that age group. Periods may get a bit heavier. And it's the main thing is not to just think it's normal and you have to put up with this. If you're feeling like your body is, you know, in need of someone to talk about what's going on, then come and see someone like me because I feel like there may be things that we can do to help. And I do think a lot of women almost feel they shouldn't bother with themselves. You know, they're too busy with everything else. But maybe stopping and making themselves feel better could definitely help whole families, really.
And then overall, what do you reckon people should know about menopause? Like, what's the big thing, not just to a woman going through it, but their friends and family to help support them?
Well, I think just be patient with people who are in this age group. Don't take too much notice that, you know, I've had a lot of women come in and say, I'm not getting it now because my mother didn't or she was a certain age. While it's a factor, it's not a deciding factor. And you might be having your symptoms a lot earlier and maybe we recognise them a bit more than we did when your mother was having this. So I would just say to families to maybe talk to one another quite a lot more than they do about what's going on for people and working out ways they can look after each other.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
That was such an educational interview. Now, before moving on to the next interview, I would like to reiterate what Marilyn has said about the HRT drug or MHT drug. HRT is a hormone replacement drug. Since when going through menopause, women are losing estrogen and progesterone, this drug is a synthetic version of these hormones. There are certain types of HRT that is funded in New Zealand. These include patches, estrogel, and the only one that is funded in New Zealand is the estradiol, and oral tablets. There is also partially funded HRT. In fact, many of the HRT options are partially funded, meaning patients still need to pay a prescription charge and a portion of the medicine costs, while the government subsidises the rest. Then there is the unfunded options. These include transdermal oestrogen gels, testosterone gels, and specific HRT brands. Since they aren't funded, patients may need to pay out of pocket for those. There's a myth that when women take gel supplements and has her partner sleep in the bed next year, that if you touch your partner, you're going to pass on the gel and the estrogen onto the partner. By the way, this is not true. Once the gel is dried, it is very hard to pass on the estrogen. So no, guys. If you're sleeping next to your girlfriend or your wife or your partner, you're not going to grow boobs because you're absorbing the dry estrogen. A study began in 1991, but was stopped abruptly in the year 2000. This study was done on women who were and weren't taking the HRT drug, a placebo study. In 2002, after the study was done, it was found that HRT did more damage than help, which led doctors to drop HRT altogether. However, this study was done on postmenopausal women, meaning that their body is now at its lowest with hormone levels, as well as they are roughly over the age of 50 for this too. But then, many years later, another study was done on perimenopausal women, or early postmenopausal women, and it was found that it was beneficial for them. But since the first study was shown, public opinion on HRT remains the same, meaning it is no longer prescribed when needing to be. The next interview is with Joanne Larson. She is taking an HRT supplement, and I think it would be good to hear how she's feeling since being on the drug, as she is going through perimenopause.
I'm Joanne Larson. I am a registered nurse. So I have a Bachelor of Nursing. I have a postgraduate certificate in Well Child, a postgraduate diploma in youth health, an internationally board certified lactation consultant, and a community nurse prescriber.
So how long have you been on HRT?
So I've been on HRT now for probably the last 12 to 18 months. So I would have been about 43 years old when I started.
And what form of HRT did you take?
So I take the Estradot 50 milligram estrogen patches, as well as the progesterone tablets.
Is this funded?
Both of these are currently funded. The Estradot was one of the patches that they are no longer going to fund at the end of this year, but Pharmac has changed its decision due to the feedback from women using the patches. The brand that they were going to fund was the Mylan brand, which I have tried and is not as effective as the Estradot. So the ones that I'm on are both funded.
Has this been beneficial for you?
It's been hugely beneficial for me. It has managed symptoms for me that were affecting my everyday life.
So what was your life like before you started taking the HRT?
So the biggest issue I had was joint pain. Started in my knee to the point where my job involves I see families with babies every day, lots of getting up and down off the floor after weighing them, and I had to make sure that when I got up on the leg that the knee was okay with. And it also had problems in my hips. And at the time when I was having all of these issues, I obviously saw my GP and we took x-rays to check, you know, what else was going on. Did I have arthritis in these joints? Did I have bursitis in these joints? And the x-rays came back all clear. So the next thing was to look at HRT and was it perimenopause that was causing all these things. And after I started treatment, it became apparent that it was perimenopause causing the symptoms.
So did you find it easy to be prescribed the HRT?
I did, but that was because I deliberately went to a nurse practitioner that I knew was very up to date with her knowledge around HRT and was prescribing regularly. So I was one of the lucky ones who had no issue getting treatment, but that is probably not the norm for everybody trying to get treatment.
So is it normally assumed that it is other things before it's perimenopause?
I think it is, especially when you're in your early 40s or even in your 30s. I think that we more readily still think about menopause as being something that happens to 50 and 60 year olds, which it does, but the perimenopause that comes before that can last for, you know, so much longer that it is affecting those 30 and 40 year olds. So I don't think it is the first thing that people think of, but often is the reason why things are happening.
Would you recommend going on the HRT to others with these sort of symptoms or in the age where they would possibly be going through perimenopause?
Yeah, I would, absolutely. I think you've always got to be careful that you check out that it isn't something other than perimenopause causing the symptoms. But when you've eliminated everything else, it's worth trying to see whether these treatments for perimenopause will actually help reduce some of the symptoms.
What's your opinion on the HRT drug itself and helping produce the extra hormones rather than the natural way of doing it?
I think from everything I've read and talked about when I had got prescribed the drugs is that exercise and diet and all those things absolutely have their place, but to produce the amount of hormone that's required to balance everything back out again, it's just not possible to do that with those other things. So absolutely in conjunction with the HRT, but I think that HRT has its place for being really effective in reducing those symptoms.
And do you reckon doctors are up to date on prescribing perimenopause and knowing the symptoms of perimenopause, or is that something that still reckon should be worked on more?
I think there's still lots of work to be done on that. Most are still, you know, sending women off for bloods to see what their hormone levels are doing, which we know is not an accurate way of measuring whether people are in menopause or not, or getting towards menopause. It's something really that has to be taken by symptoms, and something that they probably need to increase their knowledge on so that they are comfortable and confident prescribing the HRT.
Sorry, I just had a question, I'm trying to think of it. I'm like writing these ones as I go because I was like, oh, this is actually quite good. Oh, so with the blood test, has that all been the OG way of trying to get whether you are perimenopause or going through menopause?
I think the blood tests are more around, they indicate if a woman's been through menopause, which menopause is really one day in a journey. It's the point at which it's a year after your periods are finished. So then you can pick that up with bloods, but for the whole time before that, which could be 10 to 15 years, you'll have inconsistent changes in the bloods. They can go up and down. So on whatever day you test them, you're getting a result that's really only accurate for that day. So lots of women, you hear about getting bloods and the GP telling them that they are not menopausal and that they get sent away without any treatment.
Are there many GPs that still do that? Like, or is there many GPs that are specifically knowing their knowledge in menopause?
I think you get some that are really passionate about it, that are really up to date with that knowledge. But sadly, we've got some who, even younger female GPs, who are sending women off for blood tests and then telling them they're fine. So, you know, you can't even count on other female physicians being up to date with this stuff.
Is there any GPs in Taranaki that have got the specific knowledge of menopause or perimenopause, or is it no one really you can go to off the top of your head?
So you can go to, there'll be specialist gynecologists who will have that specialised knowledge because that is their area of expertise. I don't really know around the rest of Taranaki, but there is a nurse practitioner that the practice that I go to who's very up to date with her knowledge around perimenopause. So she does get a lot of not only the registered clients at the practice she's at, but casual patients coming in specifically to see her about perimenopause and getting HRT treatment.
Is there anything you want other people to know about perimenopause, or any myths you reckon there should be bust?
I think that many, many years ago, there was a lot of concern around HRT and its link to cancer for women. But from my understanding, most of that research or concern has now been debunked. So there isn't the risk there for women to take it. So really, it's just worth giving a try. It's not worth this. For me, it was just terrible joint pain. You know, it was getting up out of a chair and looking like having to steady myself and look like an older person because I was so sore, you know, and it went all away. It's just not worth living with these terrible symptoms. And some people would have far more than that. That was my biggest one. It's worth giving a try.
So comparing to before going on HRT and after going on HRT, what's your overall take on it?
I mean, it's fantastic. I'll keep taking it for as long as I need to reduce the effect on my joints, really. There are times where I've, because of the patches, you have to change twice a week. And so there are times where I've forgotten to change them on whatever day I was meant to. And I'll be sore, and I'll think, that's why I've forgotten to change it. So even being a day or two late changing the patch is enough to have an effect on how I feel.
With that, so how does your supplement work? How do the patches work to get the hormones throughout the body?
So the patches are transdermal, so they just get, the hormone gets absorbed into the body to bring the levels up, and the progesterone is in the tablet form, so it's taken in orally.
Awesome, I think that's about it.
Excellent, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Wow, how interesting was that? I understand that it may have been only one woman who says this, but personally, if I had the time, I would love to find other women and do a survey of women and how they feel after taking HRT. I mean, the last clinical trial ended early due to signs of breast cancer, strokes, and blood clots. So I wonder, whether today's new technology and how much more advanced things have become in 20 years has changed our medicine or not. I feel like I haven't actually said why I decided to do this as a podcast. The main reason was that women's health is always undermined, and menopause isn't a topic that's discussed openly. But going into new era and knowing the possibility of what everyone goes through, I feel like being more open about it is a good thing. I mean, if we openly go through puberty and have puberty discussions from the age of 11, why can't we do the same for menopause? I mean, it's the same thing, just in reverse. Not saying I understand what women go through, but personally, having a period is bad enough. But then it stops and you get all these symptoms but no knowledge of how to deal with it or what helps or any of those which in some way can make it worse. So I'm hoping that after hearing this podcast, no matter age, gender or anything like that, there is a great understanding of what menopause is and the challenges women face at this stage in life. Because it's better to have an understanding than to struggle in the dark.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.